G'day punters, welcome to The Money Men. I'm Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Swordsbet Trading Floor. How was Derby Day? Benny, I can see you got a little bit of colour too, so you've been out and about.
Yeah, I was out in the sun for my dad's birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, TC. But Derby Day, obviously the highlight was Dennis Pagan training the winner of the Derby, Johnny Get Angry. What a story. I think it gets a lot of people into racing. I know it's those stories is what got me into racing, and you know Derby Day is full of those sort of things.
Well, let's talk about the track. Vince Arcardi, thanks very much, sending through the times from Daily Sectionals. We can see true position in tyre circuit. Good four, upgraded after race five to the good three, that up to 40 kilometres southwesterly, which was sort of into their, behind them in the home turn, as you can see from those fantastic looking arrow, yellow arrows. What did you make of the track and how it played?
I thought the track in general raced pretty well. It raced reasonably quick, and but I think the straight, I thought it was going to be more even on Derby Day, but they were really getting to the outside. I thought my feeling was even on Derby Day, as the week goes on, they might get further and further to the outside, but it was straight to the outside. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next 3 days racing.
Yeah, usually it does provide a really good foundation. That you're right, usually start sort of that inside, middle's okay, and then as the carnival goes on, we end up middle, outside, and I think you mentioned they'll end up on the roses by a stakes day. But we'll see how that plays out, because a little bit of a different wind, obviously, for Cup Day. I will say for the punters out there, just when you do reviewing these races, the straight races, there was three of them, the Coolmore was included in that. It was probably a rating slower, so it was probably genuine good four, bordering on sort of that soft five region, and then the circle races, I think, genuine good three throughout the day. So just keep that in your back of your mind when you're reviewing these races. Let's crack on with race one here, Benny, for the three-year-olds. Three-quarters of a second inside standard time, but they only went out moderate, but they came home here like Learjets, 22.42, 11.54, which was the best of the day around the circle. So that's why we've got that identified in the yellow. And you can see Crosshaven, well, market wanted to be with him, $4.80 into $3.50, he wins the race.
And you can see why the market wanted to be with him. He was the SP, he had the SP over the favourite in the race. Ace probably had a tougher run in the Caulfield Guineas, and he was going to be the leader here. So in hindsight, you can see why the pros really stepped into Crosshaven. He did get his own way in front, and you have a look at Ace, he ambled up to him at the 200. But if you have a look at the sectionals, between the 4 and the 200, he ran 10.7 to really... He had to do a lot of work to get besides Crosshaven, and his run sort of ended in the last 100 metres, and that's where Crosshaven came back and really kicked. But they did go really slow for the first half of the race, didn't really give many of the horses back in the field much of a chance. I'd be forgiving of them. But these are two really good three-year-olds that will be competitive when they come back for the Australian Guineas next time.
Yeah, they've got to make that improvement, obviously, from spring three-year-old to autumn three-year-old. A lot of these horses do make that adjustment. Worth noting from a market perspective, Endanger was $7 out to $12. That was a race that was pretty well a terrible race, really, that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. It runs third. Market was just heavily against that race. Embolism rock solid at $4.80. He's probably one of the horses that you said was back in the field, just didn't have the race shape to suit it. I think it'll be a horse, a really nice horse in the autumn, one you can follow. Acer, $2.05 out to $2.25. Gets a neck in front and then obviously gets it beaten the neck. And Crosshaven, well, the market knew with this, as you said, this horse would probably be in front of Acer. The professionals found it, $4.80 into $3.50, wins the race. Race two, Wakeful, lead up to the Oaks, obviously on Thursday for a couple of them that we also know maybe a couple of them won't be going. 1.25 second inside standard time. This race was ran at a very quick tempo. 23.58, 12.10 last 400, 200, which was okay compared to the day for how quick they went out. What did you make of the race?
Oh, the race went pretty well. I mean, Victoria Key, all honours with her. She put the rod in on the wall last start in Adelaide where she got too far back behind Ain't No Deal Done. Extra distance suited. Jamie Carr goes on board. Really good effort. But the thing with Victoria Key, she's not going to the Oaks. The owners haven't paid up for the Oaks. She would be second favourite. Have they missed an opportunity for this horse? Up and going, in form. The race is 5 days away. They've decided to put it in the paddock, come back for the SA Oaks. Difficult decision, but...
Yeah, and so it comes down to whether they actually had paid maybe the third acceptance to get into it, because I don't think there is a late fee like there isn't for a Caulfield Cup or a Melbourne Cup. There is for a Cox Plate, but there isn't for the Oaks, I don't think. So maybe that decision was taken out of their hands. But you're right, usually you want to strike when the iron's hot, yeah, in terms of these three-year-old fillies. You don't get a huge amount of chance because these horses will make different improvement come the autumn. even though, yeah, you've won a really good race, going inside standard time, it changes a lot in 2 or 3 months, that's for sure.
They might rue that decision, but they do have the horse's best interest at heart by not going to that distance this early in its career. But personal, I thought was really good. I think it is probably a legitimate Oaks contender if it goes that way. Obviously, it's not probably going to be a 2,400-metre horse as an older horse, but it's a very classy filly. And coming using this race as a platform into the Oaks, I think it can be a winning chance.
Yeah, going up in distance, you probably want to be coming out of a fast-run race, I think, so that's positives. Market, Salte Angel, 16 into 11 runs fifth. Miraval, 10 into $6.50. Had the form around Montefilia, who these horses might have to come and beat on Oaks Day. And then personal, 3.20 into $2.90. So Market wanted to be with her. She just gets beaten by one better, who was 5.50 out to $7 off that run behind 8 No Deal Done, which was 1 second inside standard time in Adelaide. They have to get to Thursday. They've got the number that they did. So personal, the number it did, it pretty well measures up with Montefilia. So it's going to be right in this race, I think. Race shape might be very interesting.
Just one horse to mention. You mentioned the move for Miraval. It did run the fastest last 200 of the day, which is surprising. It was so far back and doing nothing, then really got going late. So it's a horse that will appreciate the 2,500.
And positive sign for it is to be able to finish off on a fast tempo. We always talk about horses that can finish off in junk races that are really slow. Well, this one did it off a fast tempo, so that's positive signs, I think, for Miraval. Race three, very slowly run race here up the straight. 22.56, 11.52, last 400, last 200. Best down the straight by far. Market new. Camel Passer goes back-to-back, $6.50 into $4.60, and he wins again. Straight track horses, they win.
Yeah, that for sure. But, this is a group, in essence, a Group 2 race, but it's not a Group 2 race. This is weak for mine. And, you had the horse who, with the straight track form, get the job done. He was drawn the right part of the track as well. But as in regards to it being a form race going forward, not for mine.
Yeah, very interesting. Don't know if they can win the VRC Classic if they decide to go there. Octane, $2.90 out to $3.40, just didn't work out for him. They had him on speed. Probably needs a faster tempo and to be able to be ridden with cover. Race 4, half a second inside standard time. This goes to show how quick they came home here. 23.56, 11.92, because it was only a moderate tempo. Ashrun books his place into the Melbourne Cup. He was 5 out to $5.50, had to carry a big weight. What do you think of his chances on Tuesday?
Well, I'll let you answer that. Going back to this race, I thought he was just a run in the Geelong Cup, so I wasn't real keen on him, but all honours with Ashrun here because they didn't go that quick. He was back a fair way in the field, but it was far too strong late. But you've got a better read on the internationals than me, and you'd have a better idea of whether it is a Melbourne Cup chance.
Yeah, his time form 119, I agree with you. That Geelong Cup race rated only fairly. This one has rated good enough for him to be riding. I'll be backing him on Tuesday at the price that he is, $23. I think I've marked him $14, $15 on for the Melbourne Cup. He can definitely win it if there's plenty of speed on. Don't be worried about gate 24 for this horse. Outside of that, Shabao, 440 out to 480. Admire Robson, 460 out to 5. Sound, probably going to go to the Sandown Cup or something like that. He's been very, very good, but just can't win a race. The punting tip here is international trained horses, you just got to be with them. I know we speak about it a lot and people probably get sick of it, but when you're winning at plus 55% profit on your turnover since 2017, you got to go with it.
You can see why punters don't back them, is because they don't know enough about them and they sort of steer towards the horses they know. But yeah, obviously you've got to change your way of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. Race 5 was the first of the Group 1s, Benny. It was the Empire Row Stakes. 1.25 seconds inside standard time, a good clip. 23.34 last 400, 12.04 last 200. And Shout the Bar, 27 out to 35. Blinkers on first time. Ollie lifts it. It wins the race. Odium, the three-year-old filly, 3.30 out to $4, finishes second. Massive go here, Mystic Journey, $3.80 into $2.70. Market just absolutely wanted this horse, Mystic Journey. The other three-year-old, Forbidden Love, was 19 into 12. We know they've got a great record, but Shout the Bar wins the race.
The market was surprising for mine. I thought the money was going to come for the three-year-old Odium, who had every chance, ridden really well by Jai McNeil. I cannot believe it didn't get past Shout the Bar. Shout the Bar was one of the horses I didn't really give him much of a chance. I don't have a huge opinion of her, but Blinker's first time going on, I think that might have been the key. And she was really strong at the finish, but Mystic Journey is probably a horse worth talking about. Obviously completely off the map. Held up a little bit, but wasn't exactly climbing over him for mine.
Yeah, probably not her go to be cluttered up in between horses. She probably needs clear air. We saw that at Moonee Valley in that race where she beat Perfect Jewel. She gets to the outside and she storms home. Maybe that's the excuse there. But, yeah, Shout the Bar, too good. Odium, well, we lick our wounds, but we move on.
I just think overall the race hasn't gone that well. Yeah. It's been robbed of the depth in the field by the races in Sydney. I think the horses like Flit and Emeralds would have come down.
Funstar, those kinds of horses.
Yeah, they would have come down for this race, but they haven't, and it's affected the depth of the race for mine.
It's a fair shout. We'll be back after the break. Last four races, including three of them being the Group 1s. Welcome back to The Money Men. We are dissecting Derby Day at Flemington. We now get to race six. Benny, it was the Coolmore. It was a ripping race. Market was very interesting as well. Half a second inside standard time. They went out at an even tempo. 23.65, 12.06 last 400, last 200. Race has rated really well on our stuff. And September Run, well, she put two really good performances, 1,100 metres up the straight. The first one of those, she was at a bit of a bigger price, $15. The second one, she went around $2.50. And here, she did it again.
Yeah, for sure. You said they went even. I reckon they went a little bit quicker than even. Yep. And she actually appreciated that really good tempo. She's come off too slow tempo, so we had to see her do that. And she did it, and she is a superstar. But she's only done it down the straight. These last three runs, can she do it around the bend? Because there's going to be a lot of races for her that are around a bend, and she's going to have to show up in them.
Yeah, you're right. I suppose you look at her now, though, you go, well, where am I going to go? If I go to the TJ, the Everest, big tracks like Randwick, I don't think that's going to be an issue. You know, maybe is there going to be an issue around Caulfield, but would she really run in the Caulfield sprint? Probably not. She's got plenty of races in the autumn like the Newmarket and the Lightning. She probably doesn't have to get back to a bend at a while, and I'm not suggesting there's going to be an issue either. So she looks pretty bomb-proof to me. I think that probably the slight knock would have been, can she do it in a fast tempo? Tick the box. Market was interesting, especially with her. $4.20, got out to $4.50. Late push here in the last 4 or 5 minutes back towards her at $3.90, which was positive. So what's that? The other filly that runs second was $9 into $7, so good support for her. Wild Ruler, again, $6, sort of that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday play into $4.60, then just back out to $5, runs third. And the other one was Farn and $6 Wednesday afternoon, gets into $4.80 Saturday morning, and then just slightly soft $5, but held its price. Farnan, where do they go?
Well, I don't know. They might be going the breeding barn. They've already won the Group 1 with him. If we do see him again, he'll be absolutely flying. If there's any sort of doubt on whether he's come back, they'll just put him in the breeding barn. And, you know, he'll live a good life in there.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. It'll be one of those ones where they'd probably prep him up for the autumn. They have a couple of jump outs, and if it's not going to plan, he's going to go to the breeding barn. Code word is not going that well.
This race as a whole has gone really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
These are legitimate Group 1 horses, because there's a couple of other Group 1s on this card that probably aren't really top line races, and I think you can follow the format of this race with confidence. Doubtland was a really good run in the worst part of the track for mine. Don't know where he goes, but he's got a future.
Yeah, could they back up maybe in the VRC Classic? We don't see it too often with the three-year-olds backing up, but it might be there for Team Hawks while he's around, just to have a crack at these older horses up the straight.
Yeah, I'd love to see him have a crack at that.
Yep. Race seven, it was the Derby. 2.25 second outside standard time. Very slowly run. 23.5.5, I think, and 12 flat home. So they didn't zoom home either off that extremely slow tempo. And you spoke about it at the beginning, that it was a great narrative and a great story, and I totally appreciate that, and it's fantastic for horse racing to have someone like Dennis Pagan come across with such a profile and be able to get a horse, I think his first horse, to win a VRC Derby. But if I look at prospectively just as a punter and as what we do in terms of pricing and how this race is rated, it's gone pretty average.
Yeah, we can't get caught up in the emotion of it. It was a fantastic sight on the day. Dennis Pagan could barely talk. He was that emotional. But if you step back from it and look at it a non-biased view, this race hasn't gone very good.
Yep.
Derby winners in general struggle to take the next step and become weight for age horses or really top line stays. So I think they have to appreciate they've won this race. I don't know if he's going to reach any great heights, this horse.
He doesn't have to. He's one of Derby.
Well,
I mean, that's
right,
a pretty good height.
And, you know, the form is always a little bit questionable out of these races. I think Young Word are the favourite. They'll go towards the South Australian Derby. I think he did it with Russian Camelot last year. I think they'll give him a little bit of extra spell rather than going to Sydney for their Derby. And I think that'll suit him, and he could win a race like that. But in general, it's not a race I want to be following in regards to, you know, the top line races, and I thought maybe the runner race was Cherry Tortoni, and or hit the shot coming off that really slow tempo. They just kept finding the line, but
they
thought
a long way back, didn't they? I mean, they couldn't win. You can't run 10 flat.
I thought the rides were very unimaginative. Like they could have got going a bit early, but you know, they're decent horses, but they're not top line horses.
This is the thing, I suppose, for the jocks out there. They're going, well, you know, my horse is travelling really well. Maybe I'm going to win a Group One here, but sometimes you've got to put them into the race and you know, suck it and see, and that just didn't happen.
It would have been good to see a jockey take off early on that slow tempo, but you're right, they're trying to ride to instructions. They don't want to take that risk because they might get abused for it or something like that. Yeah. But, you know, it would have taken a horse at longer odds to take off rather than a horse in the market, because I think it's too risky for him to take that risk.
With risk comes reward, and that's probably with every facet of life, whether you're a jockey, whether you're a punter, or whatever else you do in your life. That's where it comes down to, and that's where you probably see the A graders continue to rise above. Race 8 was the Cantala, 1.5 seconds inside standard, Benny, so they've gone out at a really good clip here. 24.38, 12.42 last 400, last 200, which was the worst of the day, but that's understandable knowing how quick they went out. Well, Yulong Prince, $13 into $11, wins the race. Not much of margins there. Cascadian had sort of been around about the mark in the Toorak, but being disappointing. He gets back to somewhat near his best, runs second. Rock runs third. Sort of these horses, they all seem to be the same type of horse. This time it was Yulong Prince's chance.
Yeah, I think it's the things you take about it. Chris Waller peaks his horses on the right day. Yeah. The Group 1 days, they seem to find a length or two. The other thing is the Epsom form line held up again, which year on year, it really holds up, that Epsom form line from Sydney. So that's worth noting if horses do pop up in the next week or so with that coming out of that race. I thought the run of the race was Age of Chivalry, sitting outside the lead on a really hot tempo, still battling on. The issue I have with this horse, where does he go now? He might even go to the paddock.
I think he would go to the paddock. I don't think there's really anything. He's been up for a while now, so he was running in the Rupert Clark and the Toorak and all those. So good, really, really, really good prep for him, but hasn't been able to knock off the Group 1.
I think one thing he's proven, he can run a mile now, so maybe next prep he'll be able to steal a race.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Mr. Quickie just seems to have one good run in him in a prep, to be honest. He was only 6 out to $6.50, so market was happy with him again off that rating in the Toorak. It was a sensational rating, but he just seems to be one of those horses that you can only get one good run out of him. You just got to be able to find it. And for us as punters, it's extremely hard to catch, as you say. Last race, quarter of a second outside standard time. Even tempo, though, here. 23.16, 11.78. So last 400, last 200, very good. And we identified at the start that obviously middle to wide barriers is where they wanted to be. Professionals found that. Fiesta, $9.50 into $5.50. They knew they wanted to be with her. And she ran right up to her performance, which we identified last time on the show with the Money Men, that this was the race to follow, Fiesta. Market did. She was very good.
Yeah, and I think they might have found the key to this horse, because they've been trying to sort of step her up 1,300, 1,400, but they've kept her to 1,200, 1,100 this time in, and it seems to be the key, get back off a good tempo and come home over the top of them. You can see why trainers get sucked into the stepping them up over a longer trip if they are back markers, but sometimes they just like to get back on in these shorter races, and I think they've found the key to her. Obviously, she was in the right part of the track, but she put them away pretty quickly, and I thought the disappointment of the race was California Zimble for mine. Had a really nice run in the right part of the track, and was disappointing coming out of the same form line was Fatous, who was in the wrong part of the track, but I'm beginning to think that that California Zimble Fatous form line wasn't the right form line.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. 4.80 into $4.50 for Fatous. So even though it did draw gate one, the market still held it in at that kind of price. So you wonder if it draws 12 or 13, what price it starts. It probably starts a lot shorter, but that's all irrelevant. At the end of the day, she was probably playing. Diamond Effort was the other one that was the original favourite, $3.50 out to $4.20. We sort of identified that she might get a little bit soft on insider trading. I think she's probably a horse that, again, probably prefers a bend for me, and also probably prefers just a little bit more given the ground. I think she's a really nice mare, but I think she was probably found out on this dry track.
And she's getting a little bit deep into her campaign. You do like the horses that are sort of progressing upwards into a race, and she was sort of just trying to hold her form.
Yep, so that was Derby Day. Hopefully you got something out of it, punters. The key now is, obviously, after the Derby, we had the barrier draw for the 2020 Melbourne Cup, and usually I think the narrative usually after the Barrier Cup is something's drawn horrendous. Well, they didn't disappoint again, because Tiger Moth, the favourite, drew 23 in terms of how we do the form and how we sort of analyse it, look, barriers really don't matter too much as long as it's all more or less about where you actually position on the speed map. And we think there's probably going to be genuine speed here, Benny. So Tiger Moth will get his chance. And from a market perspective, there wasn't a lot of movement either. Sometimes you do see a fair bit of movement after the barrier draw and you get these horses that will firm up or drift out. Tiger Moth more or less just held its price. Anthony Van Dyke held its price. It's probably drawn really well for it because with 58.5, I think Huey Bowman's going to have to really look after it and take the shortcuts home. Do you have an opinion on the Melbourne Cup?
Well, I think the top two are worth analysing, Tiger Moth and Anthony Van Dyke. They're two different profile horses. Tiger Moth, the horse on the up, who's sort of beat it in the handicapper with the lightweight, and Anthony Van Dyke, on the other hand, very well performed international, who's at the top of the weights, but he's drawn to get a really nice run. Melbourne Cups are won by the horses lower in the weights, and I think Tiger Moth has that much better profile than Anthony Van Dyke for mine.
Yeah, it's a fair share. They're the top two that I've got in the market as well. I've marked them $6 and $6.50 each of two in my market 100%. I'll be with Tiger Moth. You're going with Tiger Moth.
It is worth noting that you don't have to rush into these prices.
Absolutely
in
not.
The Melbourne Cup. It's a completely different market to these. They're not going to move too much. And, you can bet close to the race with more information.
Absolutely. And you'll see that a lot of these horses on the totes, horses like Prince of Arran, Russian Camelot, Surprise Baby, are much shorter than the tote than they will be on the fixed odds. Horses like Anthony Van Dyke and Tiger Moth, you'll get good prices the tote because people don't know where they are, especially Tiger Moth. I think he's number 21. Too far down the order for people to look at the race book. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. We're at the clock tower here, punters. Trash and Treasure. What's going to the curb, Benny?
The Victoria versus New South Wales rival. New South Wales have decided to put Golden Eagle up against Derby Day. I don't think it has captured the imagination of punters up there. I think it gets lost. All it does is take away from the quality of the Derby Day fields, and I think the two racing bodies need to work together to find a solution.
Wouldn't that be just ideal if the two racing bodies could work together? Yeah, we'll be long dead, I think. Benny, give us some treasure.
Race 6, the Coolmore Stakes, obviously went really well compared to a couple of the other Group 1s on the day, which I think were a little bit weaker. Follow the form out of this race. They are some serious horses.
Yeah, internationally trained horses for me. I speak about it every year and probably in the autumn and in the spring, but you just got to be with them. The great stats record that we spoke about earlier on in the show, and they've got a pretty good race to bite their teeth into again on Tuesday.
If you don't want to back an international trainer, back an Australian trainer, Chris Waller. He absolutely pegs his horses on grand final day. He did it with September Run. He did it with Yulong Prince. He can back his horses with confidence over the carnival.
Here's a treasure for you, Benny. Delphine, Sportsbet put out a thing Saturday in terms of treasure punt. You got a 10,000 bonus bet on a horse. Delphine had it on September Run in the Coolmore. He ever listened to Felix and Delphine after the race?
Hello?
Hello, is that Sportsbet?
Yes, this is Felix von Hoff from Sportsbet. How are you, Delphine?
I'm very good. I'm still crying.
How are you feeling? How did you feel watching the race? At what point did you get nervous?
I didn't really. I didn't get excited. And after the race was over, I said, "Oh, blow that. I could have had the exacta."
Best part about that is she wanted to have it on the exacta, which I think would have got her about a quarter of a mil. So even better story. Well done, Delphine. I think Felix works for Sportsbet, looking at his hat too, by the way. Good work on Derby Day, Benny. Good luck with the cup. We'll be back next week. It'll be Stakes Day and we'll go through it all again.